Welcome to the Inspiro Podcast, a podcast exploring personal growth, leadership, strategy, communication, and fulfillment. We are your hosts, Jason Luchterfeld and Bill Woodburn. I'm here as a dentist, transitioning into a career to help facilitate individuals and their organizations towards a more fulfilling future.
Hi there, I'm Bill Woodburn, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist in Austin, Texas. I'm fascinated by the way people come together to solve problems, whether that's couples or families, dental practices or organizations. We're going to be exploring a lot of topics, and for us to be able to be free to do that, I have to let you know that this is not intended to be dental advice or counseling advice.
Slowing down to speed up. And I initially learned that in triathlon. And in doing triathlon, one big component is the transitions where you're coming out of the swim and you have to change into your cycling gear, or you have to take your wetsuit off, put your cycling shoes on, put your helmet on. And when you're huffing and puffing and in a rush, you're fumbling with things. You can't get your shoe on right. You're not clipping in your pedal right. You can't clip your helmet. And so what we learned there from a coach was to slow down and make it smooth, because smooth will end up being fast. And so for triathlon, it was slow is smooth, smooth is fast. In our context, it's slowing down to speed up. So you're slowing down those conversations so that you can actually speed up later, is how I'm interpreting that. Because that initial relationship foundation is paying off huge later with appointment times, with scheduling, with how people are communicating and not beating around the bush as much. Like, the more you lay that foundation of we're honest, we're open, we're vulnerable, we're trusting, the better you're going to be with that team and that patient down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the concept of slow dentistry just in general. And it is the concept of slowing down to speed up. It's the concept of spending what might be absurd amounts of time helping people figure out what they want and then helping them get it. The helping them get it part is where we go from doing just putting out fires, single tooth dentistry, to actually creating the experience and the health that the patient wants. And maybe they never even tapped into it. Maybe they came in hoping to just figure out one specific thing, but given the space and the opportunity, they really decide they want a new smile. And so that is slowing down to speed up in terms of every category. Talk about growing a practice. When you can start to do $20,000 worth of treatment on one patient versus $20,000 worth of treatment on 20 patients, think about the experience that those 20 are getting versus that one. And I think that slowing down to speed up is a just a really nice concept. That's also a little bit of a hedge or a barrier against burnout. You know, when you're managing 20 different humans, it's a lot more taxing emotionally, mentally, physically than it is managing one. And so it's a concept that I think has a lot of utility across a lot of categories, Jason. And I mean, not the least of which is, if you have a good blueprint, you got a good direction you're going, I tell patients, we're going to go super slow in the beginning on the planning, because once we have a plan and we know, you know, what we're doing, you're clear, I'm clear, we know how we're going to get there, how we're going to pay for it, we can go as fast as anybody out there. But I don't want oopsies. I wish we would have to come up. So I'm going to intentionally say, we're going to go pretty slow in this first part. Will you hang in there with me? Because I promise it's going to pay off in the end. I'm already telling them that there is this concept at play so that they're not going, well, I sure do hope we actually do some dentistry at some point. They're in, they have buy-in to this clip your pedals slow and get that helmet buckled tight, because you might wreck.
And I'll also add that for human beings who do things and who enjoy the thing they do, as you speed up, you hit a point where you're no longer thinking about what you're doing. You think about what you're going to do. And now you're not doing what you're doing. And if that was actually something that fed you, that you went to a lot of school for and have great pride in, you're missing that step. And then later they come to me and said, I'm just feeling kind of burned out. It's like, well, but are you in touch with the really good dentistry you're doing in that moment? It's like, no, I'm thinking about the next patient. I'm thinking about the next thing. But there was something rewarding that you missed.
Something that comes up a lot when we are doing work, whether it's from a coaching perspective or through strategic planning, is core values. What comes up a lot in core values with teams of all sizes is family as a core value. And so they hem and they haw about it. Like, we have to define, what does that mean? And what does it look like in action? Because not all families are families you want to be a part of and all that kind of stuff. And it's always been something that I couldn't put my finger on, but it just felt like it was incomplete. Like, I didn't have enough I could guide people with until very recently.
Spill the beans on the table, I always say.
Ryan, I just shared this with you like a week ago, but it's a coach who's doing a talk for his, I think it's for a school. And he starts talking about team versus family. And it really hit home for me. It really struck me as valuable that we're actually creating a professional team, like a sports team is created and is professional. And you respect each other. You want to perform well for your teammates. And if you don't perform well, you could be booted off the team. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that you don't love your teammates and respect your teammates and want the best for them. So I'm really liking this concept of a professional team for our teams instead of family.
Yeah.
And really want to kind of promote that. So I want you guys to either comment on that or poke holes in that. Because right now, I'm really digging it.
Yes. Well, one of the things you said, I think, is super important. And my people never like to do values work with me when I ASP, because it takes forever, is because people say, oh, family. I said, that's too broad a category. Family is not a value. It may contain a bunch of values, but we would have to know what values it contains. And because otherwise it's so vague, you could drive a truck through it, and someone will one day drive a truck through it.
Yes.
So I agree with you, Jason. Family is not a value. How you come together, there may be some values in there.
So because you guys have both chosen that side, I'll automatically choose the other. Actually, I will actually choose the other by telling you my own actual experience. So 6 years ago, I did the same thing, Jason. I agree conceptually with, I prefer the team approach, and I'm a sports guy by a lot. I brought that to a smaller team before the big office and before the 26 team member thing. And even in a smaller setting, I brought this well thought out, well constructed idea. And while no one said anything at the moment, they categorically rejected it because the culture that already existed was more like a family than a team. And we don't get to always choose what our culture is. That's the biggest misconception I can think of, is we want to decide exactly how our culture is going to be. No, the culture is a resultant of a collection of core values and people in an organization and how they do life and business and communicate. And let me tell you, I fought uphill and got beat up along the way because they were a family and they were there for each other and they acted a lot like a family. Now, my arguments with the other direction would still be the same thing. Like, there's 100 different definitions of the experience of what family means, some good, some really bad. And Bill could spend all day talking about that. So what does that mean? That may be traumatic for some people to say we're going to be a family. Maybe. Depends on the group of people you have sitting in front of you, how healthy or good that idea is. The other thing that would happen is there wasn't this desire. They wanted to, I'm going to say, man, stay a little more mediocre, stay safer. They like the protection of, I see you mess up sometimes, and I know you see me mess up sometimes, let's keep playing this game where, like, I don't really tell you about your stuff. You don't really tell me about my stuff, but we love each other. And if you're out and you need to be somewhere for your family member, or you're not feeling so good, I'll cover you. You cover me. They really enjoyed that. I don't know that it's the best thing for the organization. So I know I'm sort of arguing back to y'all's side a little bit because I was there to begin with, but I'm poking holes in it in that you don't just get to decide that. If you can come to that agreement on a values level with your team and help them decide that for them, that's what I would have done differently. So the more evolved version of me probably wouldn't have came in and said, look, we're not doing this anymore. We're doing this instead. That didn't work so well for me. I fought uphill a long time until I started to kind of bake it into the pie a little bit more, you know, what if we did this instead of this? Have y'all thought about this? You know, there is downside to this if we decide this is how we're going to operate. And so I couldn't just turn that ship just immediately when I wanted to real bad. So that would be the hole I would poke is, depending on the group of human beings you're doing this with or introducing this to, you may get mixed results with, hey guys, this is what we are. Now, if you fire the lot and start over, you get to do whatever you want because you're the only person that's creating the culture, and you can let them know from the beginning, this is how we're hiring. We're hiring. This is a professional team. The best organizational example I can give of this, I had a good buddy who worked for Netflix, and this is facts. Netflix for a long time, and they may still be doing this. If you gave Netflix a B+ performance, you were given a generous severance package. Damn. They were industry-wide known to pay double what other companies were paying for the same positions, but they only dealt with and kept A+ work. If you were below A+, you got a generous severance package and they would move on. So they only hired the best of the best. They paid at the highest level. That's a professional organization, and they took nothing less than excellence from a result or a work standpoint. So there are organizations that this works for really, really well. And I think a dental office, as Bill knows, unfortunately, is more like a family, at least in the beginning. I'm not saying you can't shift that some, but I'd be curious what Bill's thought is, because he's seen these things operate like family so much that it's kind of hard to shift it away from it as much as you might like to.
And there's an extra piece, which I think, Ryan, you've been including, but I'm going to give it a bit of a name. I have the advantage of being able to talk to a lot of team members, and yet I'm not a dentist, so they don't have to worry about that side. They can just tell me. Particularly in smaller practices, there is a significant group of team members, I'll even say a majority, that are there to have a family experience. That's why they work with a single doctor, two doctor team with 10 people, and why they, you know, they don't go corporate and get the great health insurance or what. It's like, and they will tell me, no, it's like a family, and that's so healing for me, and it's so good for me. You know, I really love these people. I want to work someplace where I can love the people I work with. Yeah. So, Jason, while I absolutely agree, yeah, man, team and those values fit better, that's not what a majority of people, at least in smaller practices, want to do.
I think this is where you alluded to this in your first answer, Bill, about when they say family, digging into that. Okay, what does that mean? So there's an exercise that I use called conditions and consequences. So if we put family in the middle and we say, okay, what has to exist for this to be a family? List those things. And then if we are a family, what are the outcomes of that? That's the consequences side of the paper. And so if we look at that and we start really digging in, then I think we would start to see some common actual values come up that people are looking for, that they are putting under the umbrella of family. Yes. That we could probably also put under the umbrella of team the context of an office environment. And that's where I think there's real value in Ryan, your insight in, you don't just walk in and say, okay, family scraps, team is in, come on. You know, you have to be able to let them make part of that decision by dissecting what do you mean by this? And what is that? How do we behave because of this? And really digging in and having those tougher conversations, as you both have kind of alluded to.
I articulated it so well, Jason. And I gave them a podcast too that proved my point, and they still didn't like it. I had my data, I had my receipts. I was sure that this was the way, and they would agree, and it was good for them. And it just wasn't, you know, in that moment in time. And we evolved into that more and more as I kind of helped them see for themselves how this other thing might be even better. I think one of the things that evolved it for me, and this is huge, is, and not a lot of dentists see it this way. We operate in a team first culture, not patient first. So it's that Richard Branson approach to leadership. I want to take really good care of my team and then let my team take really good care of my patients. So as we created this team first approach, that's a little bit more of like, less of a professional team, because honestly, in the pros, do your job or go home, do your job or get cut. So this created an opportunity for them to have, okay, there's some safety in team first, and it's a good team, and it's a safe team that sort of feels like that good family feel, but it's definitely still a team. Do you see what I'm saying? That was kind of my entry point into, as we started to adopt some team first values and cultural pieces. The best example is always, if you see patients until 4:30, Miss Jones calls at 4:15 and says, "Hey, I just had a crown come off." Most dental offices say, "Oh my gosh, I love you so much, Miss Smith. I don't want you to go all weekend without this, with this crown off. Come now, and I'll let the team know to get ready for you." Administrator, phone person walks to the back and says, "Hey, Miss Smith had a crown come off. We got to see her. Like, she's coming right now." And the assistants are looking at each other going, "I got kids to pick up. I plan stuff right after this. You've got to be kidding me." So that's a no-go in our office. Miss Smith calls. It's like, "Oh my gosh, Miss Smith, I'm so sorry that happened. That's terrible. Let me see how I can help." Hold. I go to my back office and I say, "Hey guys, Miss Smith's on the phone. She had a crown come off. What do y'all think?" And they go, "Oh, we love Miss Smith." And they go, "Oh, but I got to pick up kids. You know what? My husband can pick them up. Tell her to come on. I'll take care of the kids. I can't wait to see her." Same result, but how much better does it feel as the team member who's having some choice and some, like, they're getting to choose to sacrifice family time or not to go do this to serve this patient. So I know I got rambling a little bit there, but to try to bring it back to this, if you can come with a team first culture and show them that there's safety in how we do this team thing, you can get them on board to help hold each other accountable and hold themselves accountable and then treat patients really well, but not force them to do these things, invite them to do these things that feel really good.
There's a underlying piece to what you're saying, Ryan, that I think so right. When team members are saying, "I want this to be like a family," really what they're saying is, "I want this to be safe. I don't want to have to be anxious here." And that safety is, you know, I want emotional safety. I want some physical safety. I mean, across the board. Nobody actually means family. It's not like crazy uncle comes in on Thanksgiving, gets drunk and yells at everybody. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the idealized idea of nurturance. From other people at work, as opposed to alienation or sense. So part of the problem with team is it sounds good if you're leading it, but it sounds bad and dangerous if you're down on the lower rungs trying to think, "Oh, well, what happens if I have a bad day?" So being able to meet those two in the middle somewhere and provide enough safety. And the other thing we know is people that feel safe generally give you far better quality work. What you were talking about, which is the you don't call me when I make a mistake, and I'll cover for you when you make a mistake. That's people that are scared.
Yeah.
People that are not scared will say, let me help you if you make a mistake, but I'm not going to cover for it.
Well, what do you think about that? A lot to chew on. Give us some feedback at spiritpodcast@gmail.com.